Amen. You may have a seat this morning. You know, this year we've been going through the Bible, and one of the common things we've kept coming back to is this idea of thrive. It's been one of our main themes for 2026. And so we've gone through some different areas of our life, and I would think that we all would admit that we want to thrive in our life. I looked at the definition of the word thrive this week, and it says to grow vigorously, flourish, or prosper. And I think we all want that, right? We want to flourish in our life. We want to prosper in our life. And we work in many different ways maybe to make that happen. Maybe we work extra hard at work in hopes of getting a promotion, right? Maybe it's something around the house. Maybe we do something to make our housework easier. But we want to flourish in our life. We want to thrive. And so we've looked at this throughout the year, and we've kept coming back to the Bible and what the Bible has to say, because the great thing is God has given us a roadmap, right, which is His Word, that shows us how we can thrive. You know, we kicked the year off looking at how we could thrive individually. How can we thrive as individuals? We took a look at that as for individuals for each and every day. Then we looked at how we could thrive vocationally. How can I thrive in my career, at my workplace? What does that look like for my life? And then the last time we took a look at this idea of thriving, we looked at how we could thrive emotionally, right? And emotions are hard. And so we took a look at what the Bible has to say and how we can walk through those times when we have to work through our emotion, how we can thrive emotionally. And each and every time, Pastor James and I hope you can see that we keep coming back to the roadmap that God has given us, which is His Word. And so this morning, we're going to be kicking off a new leg of this thrive journey we've been on, and we're going to look at how we can thrive spiritually. How can we thrive spiritually? How can we thrive in this relationship with Jesus that we keep coming back to thrive in all of the other areas of our lives? And so how do we thrive spiritually? And I think the best way to start this is to take a look at the way that we communicate with God, which is through prayer. You know, I am a sports fanatic. I love sports. And Michael Jordan is my favorite athlete of all time, okay? He is easily the greatest of all time when it comes to basketball. LeBron fans, you can come at me later, okay? But Michael Jordan, in my opinion, is the greatest basketball player and athlete to ever live. Some of you may have seen the Last Dance documentary that followed the Bulls through their final season together, but it also followed Michael Jordan's career, okay? And his passion and drive to get better was inspiring to me. Some called him obsessed. Every day was about how can I get better? How can I be the best? And each and every one of us have somebody like that that we look up to. Maybe it's an athlete. Maybe it's an actor, a singer. There's a professional, though, at some point in our lives that we have looked up to. Maybe it's a CEO of a company. Whatever that might be, there is one that we look up to at some point that we strive to be like. You know, as I was preparing for my message this week, I came across the story of Jessica Long. Jessica Long is a 37-time world swimming champion, and even though you may not know who she is, she's one of the best at what she does. But on top of that, Jessica keeps her relationship with Jesus at the front and center of all that she does. She uses her platform to talk about Jesus. She lets people know in the highs and in the lows of my life, Jesus has always been there. Now, you might be sitting here wondering, how low can it get for a 37-time world champion, right? But you see, her story didn't start with championships. Her story actually starts in a Russian orphanage. She was adopted young by an American family, and then as a toddler, her legs were amputated due to a disease that she had. But despite all of that, Jessica has held on to her faith. And a few years ago, there was a Super Bowl commercial that she was featured in. I'd like us to watch that together this morning.
Mrs. Long?
Yes?
We've found a baby girl for your adoption, but there are some things you need to know. She's in Siberia, and she was born with a rare condition. Her legs will need to be amputated. I know this is difficult to hear. Her life, it won't be easy.
It might not be easy, but it'll be amazing. I can't wait to meet her.
We believe there is hope and strength in all of us. Toyota, proud partner of Team USA.
You see, for Jessica, it wasn't about how hard her life was. It was about her faith in Jesus. And when you watch one of her races, and you can find them on YouTube, the thing that always stands out to me with any professional athlete is how easy they make it look, right? She makes it look like it is the simplest thing ever to do what she does. I often think of marathon runners, these runners that make look running all those miles so easy. But what we don't see is the behind-the-scenes work, right? The early mornings, the training, the dieting, the lifting, all of the things that go into the behind-the-scenes of an athlete. You know, if I were to say this morning, I'm going to run the next Boston Marathon and then do absolutely nothing between now and then, you guys would want me to take a video of it so you could laugh at me later, right? Okay? It wouldn't work. If we woke up tomorrow and said, we're going to run a marathon and did nothing, it would be disaster, right? Michael Jordan worked every day to become the best at the game. But when we talk about our spiritual life thriving, I think of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets a prize, so run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. And I love Paul's line there that he says, so I run with purpose in every step. Every step of our spiritual journey, we are to run with a purpose. And I love this image that Paul is painting here, comparing us to an athlete. And it's used in a couple different places. But I love this picture because I actually think there's quite a few things that are in common. You might be sitting here going, what's in common with us walking our spiritual life and that of being an athlete? And I think one of the things is both take significant discipline. And what I mean is an athlete, right, wakes up really early and they lift their weights and they do their diet and they do all these things. And when you hear stories of athletes that at the end of their career, they don't know what to do because their daily life is nothing but the sport they play. It's training and dieting and doing all of these things. And for us, when we walk our spiritual life, we have spiritual disciplines. And they may look different. They're not a diet. They're not running a mile. It's not weightlifting. But when we put these disciplines into practice, it helps us grow closer to Jesus. And Paul is very clear here that we're running a race. It's a different race, but we're running a race. And so what disciplines can help us run the race? And one of those is prayer. So I'd love for you to join me this morning and turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in Luke chapter 11. We're going to be in the first four verses together this morning of Luke 11. And one of the ways I love to tell our students to kind of think of their prayer life is hanging out with God. When we pray, it's like we're hanging out with God. What do I mean? This morning, I'd love for you to think about the person that you would consider like your best friend, okay? This might be one person, it might be several people, it might be a group of people, okay? But these are the people that, like, you go to when something happens in your life, and you call them, or you text them, or this is the person you might run into at, like, for me, it's like Walmart, right? I always seem to run into somebody at Walmart, and then you stand there and you talk for a long time, right? Like, these are the people that we're thinking of. But that relationship didn't start that way, right? You may have become friends quickly, but it was intentionally becoming friends after that. It was a mutual, right? You guys got to know each other. You spent time together. You asked questions. You got to know each other's likes and dislikes. And even though you might have become friends quickly, it was intentional. It was not one-sided. And this is natural. God wired us for relationships. He didn't want us to spend our life alone. And I think it is partially fulfilled through that, but I also think it is completely fulfilled through our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Because just like our earthly relationships, they are built intentionally. They're not one-sided. God is reaching out right here, right now. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to know you. He wants to have a relationship. And so we have to take time to build that relationship. And one of the ways we do that is we spend time through prayer. It's our ongoing connection to God. And just like all of the other parts of this series we've gone to, we can go to the Bible to see what God has for us when it comes to prayer. In fact, Jesus shows us, he models it for us, how to pray. There are dozens of passages in the New Testament of Jesus praying. And we see these patterns. And if we're going to kind of stick with the athlete idea, Jesus is like the athlete, right? He's like the professional athlete. He was always in lockstep with the Savior. He was always connected. He was always in step with his Father. And so we start to read this here in Luke 11, verse 1. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. Now, I want to stop there because there's something about the way Jesus was praying that made the disciples say, I want to pray like that. There was something about the way Jesus was praying that his disciples stopped him and said, teach us to pray. Maybe it was the connection Jesus had with God, but they want what Jesus has. And I think it's interesting that it's not how to pray, but teach us to pray. They see something. And so Jesus continues in verse 2. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. Give us each day the food we need and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation. Now, many of us this morning might know those verses. That's the Lord's Prayer. It's a very famous prayer. But I think there's several patterns and things we can learn from Jesus in just these four short verses. And I think the first thing that kind of stands out here is the simplicity of this prayer. Because you see, the disciples grew up with a very rigorous Jewish religious like upbringing, right? They were taught the ways of the Jewish religion. That was their education. And their prayer style was a little different than what Jesus had just done. They were known for these lengthy, wordy prayers, right? Pastor James talked about that a few weeks ago with the Pharisees. And it was about being righteous and look at me. And so this prayer stands out for its simplicity. And I think Jesus does that intentionally. He's showing us prayer doesn't have to be hard. Prayer doesn't have to be complicated. In fact, it's very simple. And so I think there's five things that Jesus is showing us in these four verses. And the first thing is prayer is a pattern. Prayer is a pattern. If you read the four Gospels, it doesn't take long for you to come across verses like this. This is a little earlier in Luke. This is Luke chapter 5. But Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. And the word that stands out is the word often. Jesus often withdrew in the wilderness for prayer. The Gospels are full of stories of miracles, but they're also full of stories of Jesus praying. And it seems like Jesus had a pattern of often and intentionally going away to be in prayer. This was a habit that Jesus had in his life. And if you go back to Luke in those first few verses, I think we see something else. This is also in Luke 1. It says, once Jesus was in a certain place praying. Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness. He was in a certain place. It seems like Jesus had places that he would go to pray, places where he knew he could get away from the crowd and he could be by himself. And I think this is key for us today with how busy our lives can be. You know, I have the joy of working with our students, and I was reading a study a few weeks ago, and they were talking with students that had had a strong faith in high school that had continued through college and then had transferred to their adult lives, that they'd stuck with their faith all the way through. And these studies found that young people with faith that continued, they had one thing in common, and that was prayer. All of these students took multiple times a week to retreat and pray and to be with the Father. And I think this backs up this idea that we need to have places and times that we go to create this pattern, because the habit of prayer helps you run the race of following Jesus. The habit of prayer helps you run the race of following Jesus. And just like Jesus shows us here, it doesn't have to be complicated. It doesn't have to be long, but it has such an impact on our life. And so maybe this morning you're sitting here going, oh, that sounds great. I'd love to have a pattern of prayer. I'd love to retreat multiple times when we can pray. But then how do I pray? What does that look like? And again, Jesus models this for us here. And the next thing we see is that prayer is praise. If you go back, prayer is praise. Look at the beginning of Jesus' prayer here in Luke 11. This is verse 2. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. Now, some of your translations probably have the word hallowed there. And the word hallowed, what it means is set apart. So what Jesus is saying is, God, you are holy. You are set apart. There is no one like you. There is no one like our God. You are set apart. You are powerful. And he opens with praise. And this is critical because oftentimes when we come in prayer, we've got fears. We've got anxiety. We've got giants that are staring us down. But when we stare at the giants and we stare at the waves and we stare at the storms, we can miss what Jesus has for us. But by opening with praise, it shifts our focus away from our fears to the God who is more powerful than the storm. To the God who defeated the giant. To the one who is always there. And if I'm going to be vulnerable with you guys, I think this is one of the easiest things I forget, because when things get tough and the storms come up and all these things are going on in my life, I don't think to praise right off the bat. In fact, it's more of things like, why is this happening? Why are you doing this? I don't understand. But Jesus says that when we open with praise, it shifts our focus away from those things and it shifts it to the one who is our Heavenly Father, the great I Am, the Alpha and Omega. So we need to start our prayer with praise. The next thing I think we see from Jesus' prayer is repentance. Prayer is repentance. Now, repentance is a word that we almost use exclusively at church. And it means to ask for an apology, to say you're sorry, and to ask for forgiveness. But it even goes deeper than that. When you repent from something, it's saying, I am turning away from this thing. I'm no longer going to go to this thing. So I'm asking for forgiveness, but then I'm saying, I'm going to take this out of my life. I'm going to turn the other way. Look at the prayer again from Jesus. This is verse 4. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin
against us.
You know, it'd be great if when we followed Jesus, all of a sudden we just became perfect, right? We don't have to worry about sins. We don't have to worry about saying something we would regret later, right? We wouldn't have to worry about all those things. I like to say it this way. You wouldn't have to worry about an inside thought becoming an outside thought, right? It would just stay inside. It would be great if we became perfect, but that's not how it works. We still make mistakes. We still fall short. We still struggle with temptation. And we come to the Father and we repent, not because we're afraid. We don't do it out of fear. But we come and we repent with the Father because we know God can make it right. We know God can clean us of those things that have made us dirty. And then this forgiveness that we are given, this grace and mercy, we're supposed to extend it to others. You know, extending that forgiveness to others is not easy. It's very hard at times. And it's also not easy to come to the Father and to say, here are the things where I've fallen short. Because we've got shame and we've got guilt and we've got a weight that we carry around. But we bring it to the Father and we lay it at His feet because we know He's the one that can make it right. So prayer is repentance. The next thing we see from Jesus' prayer is asking. Prayer is asking. This might be the most familiar part of prayer for many of us. And we see Jesus model it here in Luke 11. Look at verse 3. Give us each day the food we need. And then a little later in verse 4, and don't let us yield to temptation. You know, I think Jesus, again, is modeling that there is no prayer request that is too small. Because notice what Jesus asked for. Each day the food we need. He's going back to the necessities. Give us the food we need, the water we need to drink. Give us the things we need to survive for today. That no matter how small it might be, any request we can bring to the Father, because nothing is too small. We give it to Jesus. We let Him work. We give it to our Father. Father, work in this way. Give us the food we need for today. And then we're to ask Him for wisdom. Lord, help us to avoid temptation. You know, it's important to note that God cannot tempt us. James says it this way later in the New Testament. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. And because of that, we can go to the Father and we can ask for wisdom. God, help me to withstand the temptations in my life. Help me to withstand this thing that I don't think I can say no to, because everyone is tempted. We all face something that we struggle with. But because of our Father, because of who He is, and because He can't tempt us, we can go to Him. And this is not us boasting. This is us surrendering. Father, help me with the thing that I cannot control. And then that brings me to the last thing I think Jesus shows us here, and that's that prayer is listening. Prayer is listening. You know, I think this might be one of the hardest parts of prayer, but I think it's also one of the most critical. I think about Jesus' words in John chapter 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. And I think the reason, though, that listening is so hard when it comes to prayer is the most abstract part of prayer. And so here's what I mean. Again, like, let's say I run into you at Walmart, right? I'm going to say something to you, and you're going to hear my audible voice, right? And then you're going to respond, and I'm going to hear your audible voice, and that's how a conversation goes, right? But the thing is, I don't know if you guys have noticed with God, I'll pray, and I'll have this conversation with God, and then there's no audible voice, right? There's nobody speaking back to me right then and there in a voice that's clear. So how do we listen? I think there's two ways. One, I think we read God's Word, right? All of us have probably been in a time in our life where we've prayed and we've asked God for something, and then we're reading the Bible, and it's like those words jump off the page, like God's written it just for us in that moment. It's almost like He's answering it. But then I think there's another way that God answers, and that's silence. And silence can be really hard, because some of you just now are thinking, how long is it going to be until He talks again? Because this is really awkward, right? We get this anxiety and this, like, oh my goodness, everything's quiet, right? Like, it's hard. But in the busyness of our lives today, possibly the busiest generation ever, I think God speaks in the silence. When we stop and we retreat and we go somewhere and we just listen. And again, it may not be an audible voice, but it might be you starting to notice that God has opened or shut a door. You might see something start to happen that if you were busy, you wouldn't even notice. And it might be awkward at first, but silence can help us hear from the Father. And so all of these things that Jesus shows us here this morning, I want to go back again to the athlete picture. He's not asking us to run a marathon today, but just start small. Just a few minutes to build this habit, and over time you'll start to see the impact. And it'll become a part of your daily life.
As I close this morning, I want to give us just two quick action points I think that can really help us when it comes to our prayer life and making it a priority as we kick off this series. And the first thing is find a time and place. Find a time and place. You know, I told our students, I think sometimes the two most used excuses for missing our time with God each day is that I don't have enough time and I couldn't find a place that was quiet enough. Now, I want to let you know right now, I am in the room with some of you right now. I've got a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 2-month-old. My house is the opposite of quiet, okay? And better yet, when my house gets quiet, Mary and I are jumping up trying to figure out what's wrong, right? Okay? Like, that's the house is too quiet now, right? And so this looks different for each and every one of us, but I feel like as we start the series, we need to start here. We need to make the time to be with the Father. It won't find you. The time won't find us. As busy as we all are, the time won't find you, so we have to make it. And that time looks different for each and every one of us. Maybe it's 10 minutes in the morning. Maybe it's getting up 10 minutes earlier. It's picking up your Bible. Maybe it's 10 minutes right before you go to bed. Maybe you turn the TV off 10 minutes earlier, put the phone away 10 minutes earlier, and that's your time. You know, for some of you, it might be at your lunch hour. Maybe lunch is the best time. You're up and you're moving and you're active and you're alert. Find that time and then keep it. I talked with our students. You know, it's so easy to be like, you know what, I've got these 10 minutes here and I normally pray, but you know, I've got this really important test I need to study for. And then the next day is, well, I really need to do this. And then all of a sudden that time is gone, right? It disappears. We've all experienced that. It's gone. And then it's like we have to find a whole new time again. So keep it. You know, I found that my time is in the morning, but it's in my car. Because that seems to be the only time and place sometimes that it's quiet. And so I turn my music off, and that's where I pray. And I sometimes pray out loud. Sometimes I pray silently. You might even pull into the church one morning and see me talking to myself. And you might think I'm crazy, but it just might be me talking to the Lord, right? Because that's the time and the place that I found it's best for me. And so then you need to have a reminder. Maybe it's a post-it note on your mirror. Maybe it's writing it on your mirror. Maybe it's a phone reminder. Maybe it's a text alert. Maybe it's an alarm on your phone. But find a time, find a place, have a reminder, and then keep that time in that place. And then the other thing I think we can do is you can write your prayers in a journal. Now, some of you just went, whoa, I'm not going to keep a journal. Now, just hang with me here for a second, okay, because that's how I used to be. You know, this is something that I've started and I've loved it, and I would recommend it because it helps me slow down. When I write my prayers down, whether it's in my phone or in an actual journal, it helps me to slow down. It helps me to think about what I'm writing. It helps me to spend time talking to the Lord about those things. But then this is what I love the most about it. Is several months later, I can flip back, and it's amazing to see how God has been active in your life. You look back 3 months later, and you go, you know, I thought I was alone in this circumstance, but God was working the entire time. And it's because we have the ability to go back and to see how God has been faithful and how he's been working in our life. And again, maybe you're not a journaling person. That's fine. Maybe, again, put it in your phone. Put it in your notes section, your phone. Put it. I love post-it notes, if you can't tell. Put it on a post-it note. I might be the only person keeping post-it notes in business. But put it on a post-it note. Stick it somewhere you can see it and look back and be like, man, God was active and working. Put it somewhere where you can see it. You know, as we go through this series, as we kick it off, I hope we all see the importance that these things that we're going to talk about, like even in the further weeks, how important they are to our lives spiritually. And for prayer especially, to see how important it needs to be in our foundation. How it needs to be a daily part of what we do. And so as we go through this week, as we start, just start small. Find a time. Find a place. Keep that time and place. Keep it sacred. Write your prayers down. Put them somewhere where you can see them and see how God has been active in your life. And then take time to listen. And it might be silence, and it might be awkward. But when we sit in the silence and we take time to listen, I believe God will speak. And I do believe that the habit of prayer helps us run the race of following Jesus. Let's pray. Dearly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I'm just so thankful that we can be in this place. That we can be in this place without fear of being caught or arrested or persecuted. So Lord, I thank you for that freedom that we have. Lord, as we get ready to kick off this series, Lord, I just pray that we all would just realize how important it is that we are in contact and communication with you. Lord, you've given us the ability to communicate with you daily. We can come just as we are and we can talk with you. So Lord, help us this week to run this race. Help us to make this part of our foundation. Help us to become a daily habit of our lives. Help us to find a time. Help us to find a place. And Lord, just stir our hearts to keep coming back to you. Lord, we know that you are faithful. We know that you are working even now. We thank you for Jesus and the gift of life we have in him. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Will you please stand as we sing together?